God gave me the name of this series last year, came at Men's Breakfast. And the overview of it's called, I Am Involved. This is going to be like a 3-month series. I hope you're ready. Because we're going to break down different areas. And it's not about you being involved, serving in a position in the church. It's about you being involved with God. Come on. That's what it's about. It's not about having a title or anything. It's about God. And I want to know if you're willing to get involved with God. God is already involved with you. Just because we have a new covenant doesn't mean God stopped doing things the old way. Doesn't mean God stopped anointing people who aren't Christians and coming upon them. How do I know that's true? Because Jesus was on earth and Caiaphas, being the high priest, prophesied about Jesus. So God was pursuing Caiaphas, even though Caiaphas was not pursuing God. So we're going to begin to talk about being involved with him. God stirred something up inside of me. There is a mandate that intercession returns to the house of God. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. But it's funny that when it comes to prayer, how many people say they don't have enough time to do it? But we have enough time to fill our bellies. Come on, we have enough time to sit back and watch Netflix. Binge watch. Watership Down's on there. It's really good. Come on, I'm not excluded. But do we have time to partner with God and what he's doing on the earth? Because God is looking for people. He's looking for individuals. He's looking for families. He's looking for communities who are ready to partner and bring in one of the greatest harvests that this world has ever seen. I wrote something down as the Lord was talking to me. In scripture, he's known as the man of sorrows. And we think it's because he got beat and whipped and he carried so many sorrows. This is why his heart's heavy. Because there's so many people that are dying and going to hell. And Jesus, he remembers them and knows them by name. And so in heaven right now, his heart is heavy. And so I prayed to God. I said, Lord, raise up us a generation on earth that when you think about this time and this season, that you would say, during this generation, my heart fluttered and it was a little lighter. The sorrows weren't so heavy. Throughout all eternity, that God would look and see that. That's exciting to me. Isn't that awesome that we can relieve the Lord's heart? Are you in love with him? We sung that song, oh, how he loves us, but are you in love with him? Are you ready to get involved? Because one of the first ways that we can get involved is through intercession. If you can see the picture clear on there, it's a man praying. And as he begins to pray, he's bowing down. No one knows he's doing this. He's not doing it for a show. It's intense. And he's believing. He's partnering with God. And God partners with him. The beginning of this series, this is part one of intercession, intervention, and interception. Intercession, intervention. You guys know what an intervention is? It means if someone has issues, his loved ones gather around and they meet them and they say, hey, buddy, we want to talk to you. We need to have an intervention. How many football people know what an interception is? Those make the best plays. I was looking up some on YouTube and I saw the one where he's at the team's at the other end zone. And they throw the ball, and the guy intercepts it and runs it all the way down to the other post. I was like, whoa, that's intense. And the crowd went crazy. God wants to equip you to intercept for him, to intercept the ball, to intercept people's lives and person's destinies and purpose. God wants to use you. Are you willing for him to use you? Are you involved? We're going to come from 1 Timothy. This is going to be the place that we're going to build the ground up. Because this is the context in which God gave me 1 Timothy. And it's the second chapter, the first through the third verse. And it reads, Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms and requests as you intercede with intense passions. If you have the King James, it says, I'm beseeching you, I'm encouraging you. Paul was saying, and actually that word that says encourage, he means to invoke, to stir someone up. Do you know when someone begins to excel in an area, it kind of provokes you because they become a little extreme with it. Come on. Someone who's excited about fitness goes around telling everyone, you need to get fit and healthy and look at these. Like, he kind of went a little excess. I mean, he got muscles on his muscles. But God is saying, I want you to begin to become that excessive, that overzealous for me and interceding and prayers, and that you would pray for all people with gratitude in your heart. There's a reason why. God didn't say that. Paul didn't write to Timothy haphazardly just because it sounded nice. There's a reason why he said that. And he goes on, and pray for every political leader. How many people know our government needs prayer right now? They need the church to begin to pray. They need us to begin to step in. Are you willing to step in too and fill the gap? Pray for the representatives so that you'd be able to live tranquil and undisturbed lives as you worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. Why does God want you to intercede? First, it's pleasing to Him. The bonus is you get to live a tranquil life and undisturbed. Guess what that means? Guess what that means? We're praying for our government that they begin to adopt again Christian values. We're praying that they again adopt the old rhetoric that the foundation of this country was laid for. We're asking God, not only our country, but other countries. I had this prophetic dream about Kim Dae-jung this week. I was at a gas station in a big van, and Kim Dae-jung was with me. I was like, oh my Lord, what's going on here? Ni hao ma. It's Chinese for how are you? And some reason he was in my van and we started driving down the road. But we were at a gas station first to fill up and then drive. I believe God has a purpose for him. I believe God wants to pursue him and touch his heart and bring him into the kingdom to change the face of a nation. I believe God loves every person on this earth. And I believe he created every person with purpose and destiny. They already have value because they're in his image. And as we begin to do this, our lives become tranquil, peace. We begin to have peace. We prosper. We begin to live undisturbed. So that what? We can expand the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God can grow at a rapid pace, and it can grow with a firm foundation that becomes unshakable no matter who or what wants to attack it. And it lasts. Intercession means, it means to urgently bombarding God with petitions for the sake of others. I like that definition. Took me a while to get it. It did. I was praying God. It's like, well, hold on. Urgently bombarding? Absolutely. God's waiting for people to catch a hold of his heart enough to begin to bombard heaven. Like, you know, Jesus said son, ask, seek, and knock, but are you pounding at the door? See, when something's urgent to you, you begin to pound at the door. You don't care. You start screaming. You lose all dignity. That's a good word, isn't it? We stop trying to look good and we start trusting in a good God. We start hounding him with petitions. He wants that. You know that? How many people know this definition isn't something that I just made up? It's actually found in Scripture in Luke 18, 1 through 8. Follow me. On the day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope, he shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a civil judge, a thick-skinned, godless man who had no fear for others, of others' opinions. And there was a poor widow in town who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. Eventually, he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me." I like that. You know, this is nothing against you ladies, but husbands knows, you know, when your wife wants something done, you're going to dream about that thing getting done. You're not going to stop hearing about it. You're going to be like, "You know what? I got to get this done that I can get a little relief." Come on, it's just being honest. My wife was asking me to do something every day. "Honey, did you do it?" "No." I will." "Honey, did you do it?" "Sat down on the couch." "Honey, are you going to get it done?" I love that woman. You know what? It got done. And I got to kick my feet up. And he says, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights, and I'm tired of listening to her. Even though I'm not a religious man and don't care about the opinions of others, I'll just get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor. Then she'll leave me alone." Jesus is telling his disciples this. Jesus is saying, "I want my bride to take hold of this. And I want them to begin to do that." And he begins to explain what he was saying. The Lord continued, "Did you hear that? The ungodly judge said that he would answer her persistent request. Don't you know God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones? Cry out to him night and day." I like that part, because even in the King James it says crying out night and day. Have you partnered with God's heart to a place where you're willing to cry out night and day? Has it cost you yet? See, a lot of times we pray, but it doesn't cost us anything, does it? It doesn't cost us really too much time. Take 15 minutes out. Now I'm about my schedule. It doesn't really cost us that much. But are you willing to lose something in order to gain something? Sacrifice does not mean losing. It means gaining. Jesus sacrificed himself that God gained sons. A lot of times we focus on what we're losing and we don't shift our perspective on what we're gaining. You said it, buddy. Come on. For the joy that was set before him. See, Jesus saw the joy. He saw you and me. And until we get that perspective of seeing him and seeing others come to him and seeing other people develop and grow in him, we will not do it because we won't find it a joyous occasion. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We always make it about money. I'm making it about prayer. I'm making it about intercession. I'm making it about, are you willing to open your homes up for someone? Who? What happens if someone's in need? Are you willing to pray for them? It makes you uncomfortable. We've been too comfortable and too lackadaisical. God wants to wake us up. He wants to say, "Gird yourselves." He's looking for people who are willing to say, "God, I'm here and I am in." I'm in. Doesn't matter. I'm in. People might say, "Hold on, buddy. That's a little bit too dogmatic." I'm in. I'm in. Jesus talked a lot about people's money because they got it when he talked about money. If I told you that there's this investment that you will bring back your investment 50 times when you put everything in, I don't think no one would say no. You'd be like, "I'm putting everything in. It's a guaranteed. It's not backed by me. It's backed by the biggest banks in the world." You guys would do it. If you didn't do it, we'd say, "You know, something's wrong with you. Do you not understand this? Let me break it down to you. You give them 100, it's going to be multiplied by 50 when you get it back. Yay." Right? God is asking you to invest yourselves in him. Invest yourselves in his agenda. Invest your lives in him. Not just for your sake only, but for the sake of others for the kingdom's sake, for the sake of what Jesus did when he hung on the cross and he said, it's finished. That's why. And we're going to continue, and he says, he will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. I find that a lot in scriptures where Jesus says something about, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. But you know, a lot of times we haven't seen the giving out. We ask, but we haven't seen it, have we? Come on. And that's where we begin to do what? Hope becomes deferred, and it makes our hearts sick. So we don't begin to ask God about things anymore, really. Maybe we're missing something because I cross-referenced that scripture. It's in the Bible 18 times. Now we know, just studying the word, that if it's in there once, twice, or three times, it's an established truth. 18 times. It's in there. An example is when Peter got locked up. Peter got locked up, the church got together, they started praying and not stopping. An angel shows up, delivers Peter out of jail, and he comes knocking on the front door. I think those people had a different perspective. They were like, I'm not going to give up until I get my answer. A lot of times we don't get an answer from God, so we just think he's saying no. Come on. We pray, but we don't really hear God say yes or no. And because we don't get what we're praying about, we just assume he said no. Come on. He might say wait, but do you know what he's saying? Have you received the answer? Paul said that I beseeched the Lord, and I kept on beseeching him because this thorn was in my flesh. And finally, the Lord spoke to me about my issue, but he didn't stop until he heard from the Lord. A lot of times, we're not willing to hear from God. We're willing to live from circumstance. Because that might mean me waiting for a moment, me travailing in prayer as a woman who's travailing about to give labor. We want to take it easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Because it seems too rough. The cost is too high. Jesus said, I want you to do something. Before you follow me, I want you to count the cost. Count what it's going to cost you. This isn't just for becoming born again. This is for today and now and this hour. Are you counting the cost? It might cost you this. Are you still willing to lay it down if he asks you to? Because Jesus didn't just ask you to surrender. He asked you to die. Being crucified with Christ. This is the reason why we intercede. We intercede for God's kingdom to manifest in all areas of life. The first area, people and families. We want God to be made known to them. We want them to come into a relationship with God. We want them to grow spiritually. We want them to excel in God's kingdom. That means in all dynamics of his realm of authority. Second, we pray for government. We pray that the government has wisdom and that they adopt Christianity. Not just adopt, but they become it. And I know if we're interceding for the people and they get born again, guess what? Their mindsets and views going to change. Third, we pray for the business arena. We pray for the financial arena, that it begins to get touched by God, that God begins to save those in authority and the businesses that run the market and the economy. We also pray for the education of our children, of our colleges. We pray that they adopt again Christian values, that God raises up teachers and leaders who will lead them and teach them in the fear of God. Fifth, we pray for the entertainment and the arts. We pray for the media. That means the news and what they're broadcasting. Because how many people know CNN sometimes is just full of garbage? It's just the truth. Just the truth. Do you know most of the news channels are owned by big corporations and they have to report what they say? If they don't, they get canceled or the person gets canned. So they're getting manipulated, strong-armed, to report only one side of the story and not report this. Because a long time ago in media, they learned that negativity sells. Controversy sells. So it may not even be what they're saying it is. But this is what's spread into people. So we need to see the kingdom of God move in that. We need to see the kingdom of God hit the entertainment industry. You guys remember when The Passion of Christ came out? How big of a boom was that? People still talk about it. They're making a sequel. Yay. We need the entertainment industry to become redeemed. We're praying and interceding that God's kingdom begins to be established and manifest more on this earth. Are you involved? You may say, well, God, I don't know all about that. I don't know. Listen, if I get a hold of the kingdom, and God, I get a hold of the king and the kingdom's there, and he starts living and moving through me and manifesting through me and changing the way I think, and he changes areas. If he begins to change areas and regions of people, I wonder if the people's influence will change in all these other areas too. That's why the first thing is always people. Before anything else, before living comfortably, before having a tranquil life, it's the people. When someone goes to jail, they get out. Or they just have to wait in there until they die. But then they get out, right? When someone goes to hell, they don't get out. They don't get out, guys. Jesus said there's weeping, gnashing of teeth. That doesn't break your heart for your family, for your neighbors. I don't know what will. I knew it broke God's heart so much that he sent his son down. I know God wanted to establish a better covenant. He wanted to draw people near to him, those who were far off and distant. That's what my Bible tells me. You're like, well, how will I know God wants to do it through me? Well, let me tell you something. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord go around looking in all the earth for people who are faithful to him so that he can make them strong. And then the prophet goes on and says to the king, Asa, you did foolish things. So for now on, you will have wars. Let me put this scripture in context right now. Asa was a king. And instead of relying on God, he got all of the gold and rubies from the temple and sent it off to another king to make alliance, paid them from God's treasury so they can come and protect him and his city. Ouch. And so he said, listen, man, the prophet's like, listen, Asa, the Lord's eyes go to and fro on the earth, looking for someone, looking for a person, not just a man, but a person who he can show himself strong in, where he can get glory. And as long as you rely on just men and not God, you're going to have wars. For us today, as long as we rely on the methods of man and not the word of God, we're going to have problems. There's going to be a disconnect. I don't want any more disconnects. I want to see, is Jakey here? I don't see him. Oh well. Jakey's a plumber, right? Do you know a good thing about a plumber is they don't turn the water on until all the pipes are laid. They have to be connected and laid down in order for the water to come on. If you had a leak in your house, you would cut the water off, wouldn't you? Because there was a disconnect. Are you ready to align and connect with God like that? So when the water is on, it doesn't stop. So we don't see these spurts and movements. We start seeing a consistent building and moving. And it begins to be almost like a snowball rolling down a mountain. And it can't be stopped because an avalanche is behind it. God wants to use you. My wife, before she was my wife, she was praying for her whole family. I didn't know her at this time. She said she would pray day and night. She'd cry out to God. This little kid came up to her and said, do you really believe God's going to, save your whole family? She said, not really. Like, I don't know. Do you think they'd leave them? No, I don't know. I hope. And God convicted her heart because she wasn't aligned properly with his perfect will. all of a sudden, she began to pray. She said she prayed so much. She's not up here, so I can brag on her. She prayed so much at her one job that she stained the floor with her tears. She said, every time I go there, I still see my tear marks. She said, I began to pray and cry out to God. I wanted God to do something. I wanted God to change things. I wanted God to move in a mighty way. It cost me sleep. It cost me relationships. But I wanted God to show up. I can't handle the answer no. God's waiting for a people that would say, God, I'm looking for a yes. And if we don't hear anything, we knock again. God, I'm looking for a yes. And if we don't hear anything, we knock again. God, I'm looking for a yes. Because the promises of God and Christ are yes and amen. Are we going to take a hold of this? Probably 7 years later or so, well, I married 2 years, her parents get born again, everything starts changing. Now all of her siblings are born again. Whole family. Boom. One of them struggling, so we're praying for that one. She doesn't know, but she's going to get dosed more. Come on. Because I'm not accepting what the norm is. I'm not accepting what the culture thinks. I'm not accepting these things. I'm accepting what God says. I want to be involved with Him and His plan and His agenda. And God's looking for someone on earth that He can partner with. He's looking for a people and who He can partner with. This man is in this picture, the man's praying. He's partnering with God. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But if there's no one praying, how can the prayer avail? How many people in this room have prayed for things but didn't see them? Yeah, and it kind of hurt, didn't it? And you're like, God, I don't know. And then you don't really want to put yourself back out there because you got hurt. Because the truth is, you were disappointed. You know what true faith looks like? It's in the face of disappointment, choosing to still believe. Come on. Because when it's seen, it's no longer faith. You get what you believed. That's what faith is. So he's believing for a change. You're like, well, how do I know that God wants to do it, not just through one person? A lot of times we want to have our intercessory team, a group of individuals who catches the heart of God and begins to pray into those things. I'm all for that. But I tell you what, God's looking for an intercessory people. It's time that we get on His agenda. Jesus said, I came to be about my Father's business. Are you about your Father's business? Are you involved in the company? It has a beautiful retirement plan. But are you involved in it? Are you willing to pray without ceasing? And you're like, well, I do that by myself. I don't do it with people, you know. I do it by myself, you know. But Jesus gave us a promise. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If you agree to ask God for something in the symphony of prayer, my Heavenly Father will do it for you. He says this, if two of you agree. I'm all for you getting alone in your closet and you agreeing with the Holy Ghost, okay? He's a person. He's not a power. He's a person. He carries power. I'm all for you agreeing with the Holy Spirit. But He says, if two of you will on earth agree. In the King James, it says touching and agreeing. Come together, touching and agreeing. And you ask God for something. He will do it. This scripture is in the Bible 18 times. Jesus' disciples came to Him and they said, Master, He sent them out two by two. And they said, we couldn't do this, Lord. A lot of times, if we would pray for something and be in their situation, we would go off and say, well, it wasn't the Lord's will. Because that's always the safeguard to play. Come on, I'm getting real now. It's always safe to be like, well, it just wasn't God's will. No, you just weren't willing to step into his will. That sounds mean, doesn't it? But it's not being mean. Whew. Hold on. Whew. See, a lot of times, and then the disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus said, he said, Master, we couldn't do it. You said if we touch and agree, it would happen, but we didn't see it. We couldn't do it. What was going on? And Jesus said, you got too much doubt. Because when he says ye have little faith, what it translates to is too much doubt. You got too much of the world's influence and not enough of God's influence in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. And so what happened? Jesus said, bring the boy to me. And what happened? It says, well, a lot of times today in Christianity, we would make a theology out of we prayed and we didn't see it. Jesus said, bring the boy to me. If you guys didn't notice, I had last couple of weeks, God's been wrecking me. He's been touching me and wrecking me and changing and shifting and rearranging. Last night as I sat reviewing the sermon and looking over it, I felt someone come by with like a lighter and put it underneath my feet. I thought it was my heater, so I moved my heater this way. And I sat back down on my couch. And, you know, lazy boy. And my feet got hotter. And I said, okay. So I went back and I took the heater and I said, you know what? I'm going to completely face it in the opposite direction, not even angled. And I sat back on my chair. And as I sat there, I said, Lord, if this is you, heat them up good. Both of my feet got so hot, so on fire. And I believe God says, I'm ordering your steps and I want you to walk in my anointing. Because it breaks yokes and bondages over people. That's what it does. And I want to have a people that do that. We're going to continue on. For whenever two or three come together in honor of my name, I'm right there with them. Are you willing to step out of your prayer closet? I'm not saying not to go there. Come on. But also, you can preach it too if you got it. Come on with it. I'm not against it. Come on, because guess what's happening? Two or three are agreeing right now. Oh, the king is here. Come on. Are you willing to look undignified? Because that's what trumps us up a lot of times. I like Trump because he's not dignified. He's not a politician. And they don't know what to do with him. I think it's quite hilarious. I'm just being honest. If you don't like him, it's okay. Are you willing to stop trying to be a puppet for man, trying to look like something for people, and begin to step out of your prayer closet and get with the body of believers so it looks a little more accelerated? So when God begins to speak and touch, there's two or three that's agreeing together. So that we can actually see what Jesus said. I don't believe there's any fault in the word. I believe there's fault in us. There's nothing wrong with God's spirit. There's nothing wrong with he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. What's wrong is we've been filled up with so much man knowledge that we don't even understand the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. So when we read the Bible, Paul sounds confusing and we say he contradicts himself. Oh, you don't have to agree with it, but I heard it already in theological schools. And we say, I can't read the Bible. It's too confusing. I'm telling you, you're too full of yourself. You need to get full of him. Come on. You know, when I was training people, I was a tough trainer. People know that. Have you ever trained with me? Like, that's crazy. But I trained people and I said, listen, your excuses are useless. They're like, and I heard them all. well, I'm big-boned. I said, no, you're not. There's no such thing as being big-boned, for crying out loud. Scientifically proven. Some people would tell me other things. I'm too old. Then I pull up pictures of a 70 and 80-year-old person, and they're like, oh. I said, give me another excuse. I don't have enough time. I said, okay, what are you doing at 4:30 in the morning? I said, your excuses are useless. Until you start taking care of yourself and loving you, you're never going to get where you want to go. If you always did what you always done, you always get what you always got. If you want something new, you got to do something new. Change the way you think, you go in a different direction. I wonder if that's the same with the church. If we begin to change the way we think, we begin not to worry about how dignified we look. We don't care about that. We don't care about looking good for people. Hey, guess what, man? The church is a mess. Guess what? But people are getting filled with him, and that's why the church is a mess. Because they're losing it all here, and we're cleaning it up. Are you ready to be involved with him in such a way that you partner with him? You begin to cry out. I believe it was, it wasn't Smith Wigglesworth. It was another revival guy. Finney, it was a guy, he would go out. Listen, this guy was nuts. He wanted God to move so much and so strong that he would begin to walk out in public. And all of a sudden, as he's walking past people, he'd be, oh! He walked by someone else, Jesus! Walked by someone else, get him, God! The man could not contain what was going on inside of him. He could not contain the hunger of God. What I find out is that we're more hungry for entertainment and sports than we are for God. We don't like hearing that, but it's true. Come on. I'm not telling you not to enjoy your sports team. I'm telling you, if you get more excited, you stand up and hoorah for your sports team. But when it comes to God, you don't want to hoorah for him. Then there's an issue and there's a disconnect within you. Oh, there goes those crazy Christians, charismatic, conservative, trusting in holiness. Come on. I heard it all down the pike. You're either charismatic or you're conservative, walking in holiness. I want both. I'm not selling for one or the other. I want to be walking in holiness, walking in the spirit of truth, and I want to be excited for God. I want to be excited for people who get born again. I want to meet people where they're at. If it costs me time, it's okay. I want to see people here equipped and growing. And if it means I have to travail for days, then I'm travailing for days because it's no longer about me, because I died when Jesus said it was finished. But it's about his agenda. It's about his purpose. It's about his cause. Ryan, come on up. It's about what he's doing. It's about how he's moving. And a lot of times, because it's not the way we think, or what we're familiar with, we don't want nothing to do with it. Let me tell you, the Jewish people was familiar with the Torah and the traditions of men. They were not familiar with Jesus, the Son of God, walking on earth. He was an anomaly. They couldn't understand him. And because of that, they rejected him. MVC. Do not do the same, because it's not normal. It's unusual. Don't reject what God is doing. Don't reject how God is beginning to quicken people. Don't reject him. Say, God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. If it's you, I want to be involved. I am in.